Welcome back to the flip side for this Thursday. Joining us, and we got our time right, thankfully, this time around, Reverend Tech Pike from the National Prayer Network. You can access his website at truthtellers.org. And welcome, Reverend.
Thanks for having me, Robbie.
Yeah, my pleasure. You're doing, you're doing yeoman's work all on your own, trying to wake people up to what's coming down the pike. Excuse the pun.
Well, we do have a real crisis in Congress. We have two very dangerous federal hate crimes bills now moving rapidly through the House Judiciary Committee. And, yes, I have been on talk radio sending out e-alerts. In fact, I called all religious right organizations this week, probably 50 of them. I called about 50 pro-life organizations trying to get the religious right awakened to the hate bill threat, which is coming to take away their freedom. And then over here on more of the far right, I'm doing lots of talk radio, including your show and others, letting the Patriots of America know that we have to speak out now. It's really, this is the time for all good men and women to come to their aid of their country, because the President Obama so firmly behind these hate crimes bills in Congress. I was told by the judiciary that they're going to shoot them through very rapidly. We actually could have a vote on the floor of the House of Representatives before we know it.
Well, I mean, that's disturbing in and of itself. You don't suppose that this was sneaked into some part of the stimulus bill, do you?
No, I haven't heard anything to that effect. There actually are two federal hate crimes bills. This is new. We have been fighting the standard federal hate crimes bill ever since 1998, and we and the Patriots of America have defeated that five times. Last time was just in the previous Congress. By God's grace, we were able to finally defeat it at the last minute. But here it is, rearing its ugly head again. Basically, we have two bills, and most people are not aware that there is a second bill in. And tragically, really, the Christian conservative organizations are almost universally silent now in warnings about this legislation. Maybe I could just give a brief description of both these bills.
Fire away, sir.
Okay. The first bill is H.R. 256, called the David Ray Hate Crimes Prevention Act. This is a condensed version of the standard federal hate bill, which has been reintroduced again and again. It's the product of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith. The ADL is the architect of hate crimes legislation worldwide, and it vows and has vowed in the past it will never, never give up until it has passed this hate bill and made America into a hate crimes bureaucracy like Canada. In fact, ADL was instrumental. It was the primary force in persuading Parliament in 1971 to adopt their Canadian version of their hate bill, and that has, as most people know now, has led to an end of free speech in Canada. And basically, what the David Ray Hate Crimes Prevention Act wants to do is, it is very threatening to free speech because it will hold a speaker accountable for the effect his words have upon other people, particularly unstable persons, if those people hear his admonitions, his counsel, and so on, and commit some kind of a hate crime. For example, this legislation says that if a talk show host, a pastor, even a person on the street corner publicly counsels or aids and abets or incites other people, let's say a skinhead hears a pastor on the radio talking about homosexuality as an abomination to God and how God may have killed thousands of them in Sodom and Gomorrah, and this unstable person hears those the incitement of those words, goes out and attacks the homosexual. Then he says, well, I heard Reverend so-and-so on Christian radio saying that God killed them, and why can't I do the same thing? Then this federal hate crimes bill says that pastor on the radio will be held accountable. He will be punished as a principal alongside the active offender as a federal hate criminal. And then number two, basically this legislation will create a police state in America. we have enjoyed states' rights in law enforcement, which means that under most circumstances, the federal police, the FBI, etc., do not have the right to penetrate into states' rights in law enforcement unless there are things such as jury tampering or slavery in the state, the interstate commerce involving crimes, nobody knows whose jurisdiction, etc. In most circumstances, the government has to keep out. But all of that will be washed away if this bill is passed. The government will have a perfect right anytime, under any circumstances it wants to come into the states, make hate crimes investigations, arrests, indictments, and so on. Now, when you have the federal policing power united with the local policing power, you have basically what's called a police state. And then number three, this legislation will inevitably and very quickly spread out into a speech crime law. Up in Canada, ADL persuaded the members of Parliament that the Canadian hate bill, was only intended to end violent hate crimes out in the provinces and violent hate crimes, advocating violent hate crimes through speech. And yet, very quickly, the legislatures, the judges, and so on, adjudicated and legislated and broadened it out, saying that society has a duty to protect groups such as homosexuals, not just from physical violence, but from verbal violence, those words that cut and demean and cause homosexuals to lose their health, self-esteem, and so on. And so exactly the same thing will happen here in the United States. This legislation is written so ambiguously that it's a green light for federal judges, liberal judges, and so on, to very quickly broaden it out and want to show a more compassionate application to the delicate feelings and self-esteem of members of federally protected groups. And well, then that brings us to this second bill, if I might continue.
Sure.
The second bill is H.R. 262, called the David Ray Richeson Hate Crimes Prevention Act. And the intentions of this bill are very different from the first bill. The first bill has a punitive intention, meaning that it wants federal jurisdiction to punish hate crimes once they have occurred out in the state. This bill says, oh, no, let's establish a federal hate crimes command center in Washington, D.C., the 24-hour toll-free line, database, the statistics gathering potential, all that kind of thing, in order to prevent hate crimes from taking place in the first place. And this command center, this bill says, will not be run by the federal government. It will be run by a private civil liberties organization with great experience in hate crimes ideology, statistics gathering, law enforcement, and so on. And, of course, that can be no other organization on this planet except the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, which is the architect of hate crimes laws worldwide. And so what this bill basically does is it's a self-serving bill which the ADL has created to set itself up in the driver's seat of hate crimes prosecution and education in America. And then also this bill says that in order to prevent hate crimes, the government will launch a massive re-education program, basically a brainwashing program of students in the United States in all public schools from kindergarten all the way through a grad school, re-educating them against those dangerous homophobic or prejudicial ideas which lead to hate crimes in the first place. Of course, according to the ADL, the biggest cause of homophobic hate crime against homosexuals is the Holy Scriptures, which describe homosexuality as an abomination. So we will have the ADL basically orchestrating a federal hate crimes command center and a massive re-education program throughout public schools in America. And then number three in this second bill, H.R. 2662, it says that federal funds, federal welfare funds, will be provided for anyone who asserts that they have been a victim of a hate crime, who feels traumatized by an alleged hate crime, and can go so far as to convince a district attorney that he has a case. And once he can convince this district attorney, then that person is eligible for welfare assistance and all kinds of other kinds of assistance. And it's not necessary that the validity of that claim be established by a judge or a jury in a court of law. Just as soon as he can get a liberal district attorney to agree that he thinks he's been the victim of some kind of intimidation or hate crime, then that person, let's say he is a homosexual, that person will receive federal welfare funds. The same-sex spouse of that homosexual, any children involved in that family, even the parents will receive federal welfare funds. So this could conceivably bring about a federal homosexual new welfare class of aggrieved, not only homosexuals, but other members of aggrieved minority groups.
Well, I mean, this is disturbing in light of, obviously, what Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, said yesterday, taking advantage of Black History Month, to refer to Americans as a nation of cowards for not discussing the country's checkered history openly. Well, if I discuss America's checkered history openly, I'm going to offend a lot of black people.
Yes, sure. Well, the whole intent of these hate crimes laws, I've mentioned homosexuals quite a bit in this discussion, but the truth of the matter is everybody in some way, sooner or later, will be victimized by hate crimes laws. It's basically an attempt to take away free speech. You can't criticize Islam. You can't criticize blacks or their behavior. You can't criticize Latinos. You can't criticize women, and on and on. But practically the only people you can criticize are white Christian males, and the record is both in Canada and Europe and here in the United States that it's fair, they are fair game, and the liberals look the other way and allow whites and Christians to be bashed, but certainly not members of these other federally protected groups.
You know, the sad thing, and you mentioned it in passing, but this is a reality of life, that obviously the pastors in the pulpits every Sunday are completely silent about this because obviously they are beholden to the ideology of Zionism.
Yes. Well, not only that, but you see, these national leaders are very familiar with the ADL, and beneath the thin outer layer of these federal hate crimes bills or state hate crimes laws, is the presence of this Jewish organization composed of Jewish supremacists. I'm not talking about all Jews, of course. I'm not talking about the majority of American Jews, but there is a cadre, a cabal of members of ADL and the Neighborhood International, which are very instrumental. They are very, very passionately anti-Christian, anti-freedom. And they have an agenda of wanting to break down all forms of Christianity, Christian values, and so on, so their own super liberal Zionist atheistical agenda will predominate. People who are in the top of Christian religious organizations know that if they even deal with the hate law issue very long, beneath this very thin veneer, they are going to encounter a largely Jewish effort to take away freedom, and they want to stay as far away from that as possible. Because if they go after hate laws, and they actually should say who's behind the hate law agenda, meaning the ADL, ADL will suddenly turn on them like a rattlesnake and bite them with the accusation of anti-Semitism. And, of course, the constituencies, millions of constituents of these religious evangelical organizations are so passionately in favor of all things Jewish and Zionist and so on that suddenly these organizations will be facing massive depletion of funds and support as thousands, if not millions, of their followers depart from them. So this is an underlying reason, quite frankly, I believe, why these national religious conservative organizations are so painfully, agonizingly silent right now. Our organization, the National Prayer Network, is the You go to Google, you'll find ADL is the main progenitor of hate crimes laws. They're very proud of that. And you'll find the National Prayer Network as the antagonist to that. And I think that we've become so well known, it might even be that some of these new right organizations may be saying, well, let's just let Ted Pike and TruthTellers.org, National Prayer Network, take the heat of going against ADL and their hate laws and suffer the reproach of being called anti-Semitic, and we'll just kind of stay on the sideline.
Well, don't these people realize that by very definition of the law that the Bible itself could be deemed hate literature?
Oh, yes, they know that very well. But they are so concerned, I'm afraid, with being respectable and paying, bringing the money in and not rocking the boat, that they are trying to bide their time and find some respectable conventional solution to this. But my approach is we have to get to literally to the eye of the octopus. I have to take my harpoon and drive it right in the eye of the octopus, the ADL, regardless of the consequences, because unless you stop this evil where it's starting, it will only continue to work behind the scenes in the legislative halls of Congress and so on, continuing to spew out and conceive new Antichrist legislation faster than we can stop it.
Well, when we return from the break, obviously the next question is, what can we do about it? And obviously this is serious. I mean, we are facing so many crises, Reverend, right now. I mean, obviously a lot of people are consumed with the financial crisis that we are dealing with, which is serious, and it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better. When will we come back with Reverend Ted Pike? What you can do to help make some noise in Washington, D.C. We'll be back. Welcome back to the flip side. We're speaking with Reverend Ted Pike. You can access his website, the National Prayer Network, at truthtellers.org, and you can also view the video entitled How to Kill the Hate Crimes Bill. Tell the folks what they need to do to get things going here, Ted.
Well, I would think first step would be to watch this our latest video. It's a 10-minute informational a video about these two federal hate crimes bills, what they intend, how they want to take away freedom. And the quick way to do that is just come to truthtellers.org right there on the homepage. Just click on and you're away in a 10-minute quick education on the danger of hate crimes legislation. We also have a lot of resources there. We have all the members of Congress, but we also have the 40 members of the House Judiciary Committee. Now, this is very important because 2 years ago, we encouraged people. I was all over talk radio telling them to direct calls to the crucial 40 members of the House Judiciary Committee because these are the people who are deciding whether or not these hate bills will stay in committee, will die in committee, or will go forward to the floor of the House of Representatives. And what we want to do is to repeat the strategy that worked so well 2 years ago. Thousands of people called these judiciary members. The phones were ringing. We have opposition to the hate bill. And very quickly what happened was it gave real spirit, real fight to at least 11 Republican members of the House Judiciary Committee. They proposed 11 amendments in committee in the hearings trying to water down the hate bill. They put up a real fight, and that fight and that concern over this legislation spread throughout the 180 members, Republican members of the House of Representatives. Ultimately, the influence started by that massive calling of the House Judiciary Committee caused President Bush to promise to veto the hate bill. And that put a damper on about five other pieces of Orwellian legislation, which were either defeated or set on the shelf. We have to do that again. we have to do more than just call our two senators and our House member. We need to come to truthtellers.org and spend some time this week, maybe before breakfast or during your lunch hour. Just call a few every day. Before long, all 40 members will have heard your message of warning. And our hope here is that we can, again, galvanize real opposition, feistiness from the Republican contingent in the House of Representatives, which will spread to the rest of Congress.
Well, if the Republicans are looking for something to gain back a certain amount of credibility, this will be their litmus test, in my humble opinion.
Yes. Well, the fact of the matter is that truth about the danger of hate crimes is spreading through Congress. What we need to do is to take advantage of that, call your members of the House and Senate, but also take time to call these crucial 40 members.
Reverend, thank you, and God bless for all the work you do, sir.
Thank you so much, Robbie.
My pleasure, sir. There you got it. Doom and gloom. Par excellence for this Thursday. Guess what? We'll do it again tomorrow. Till then, see you, bye.